Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Holy cats, what we're talking about today and how we are moving forward is we are talking about MS and our journey as MS caregivers, to which then I, as somebody who's living with relapsing remitting MS, am the primary caregiver for my wife, Jennifer, who has secondary progressive MS.
And that is very much us. And it's, I'm a wheelchair user and I have been using a wheelchair for 20 years. And I am Dan, I'm your caregiver. And I think most people don't think of me as a caregiver because of my wheelchair. But thank you very much. I am your caregiver.
You totally are my caregiver.
Totally. And that's what makes this work.
And is that interesting or is that odd for you that you are my caregiver? Do you ever think of that? Or I mean, because, you know, we're talking here about caregiving and caregiving for spouse, family member, loved one, sister, brother, mother, father, daughter, son.
There is such a connotation to the word caregiver. And I think a number of people, you out there listening, if you have a spouse or a child, or you know someone with a disability, do you consider yourself a caregiver? Because I know you and I, Dan, we have no problem calling each other a caregiver. But a number of people, they just say, oh, no, that's just my husband, or that's my father, or that's my son. They don't realize that they are caregiving. And so I'm proud to be your caregiver. You are an easy person to take care of. Likewise. But conversely, I don't know that I'm super easy to take care of. So,
but you are. And that, yeah, I mean, are there challenges? Of course. But it's just like, are there challenges for you to care for me? And I think, I'm sure there are. I mean, and I think that's where we're coming at this right now in terms of talking about caregiving, in that we recently were part of a video project for Healthline that they did a 3-part video series about caregiving, and we were one of the 3 couples featured in videos, and we will have links to that video and the other videos that they produce for this talking about caregiving. And it was such an honor to be invited to be connected or to get reached out to by Healthline, and then to have the film crew and video and everything here at the house for 2 days to capture that video. But it's like just a question of, first and foremost, I'm your husband, you're my wife. And I think the caregiving for me is just tertiary. I don't know about you.
I wouldn't think of myself as a caregiver. I would tend to think of myself as a spouse. I'm just doing wifely things. But when you are sick or when your feet are tired, again, I'm a spouse, but maybe I think of it more as a caregiver because I know you have multiple sclerosis and that puts a little more of an official hat on it. But again, that's why I think when I think about some of our friends that we know through the MS community, they struggle with the caregiver title because they'll say, no, that's just my family member. It seems clinical, maybe, or I don't know. It makes it, do you ever feel like, oh, I'm her caregiver, but it's more of a official, how about that, an official title on it?
You know, I think that's where it's a question of for me, in terms of quote unquote caregiver for you, I'm really feeling more I'm just your husband, and you know, you're my wife, And I'm taking care of you the same. I, you know, think of any other married couple and how they treat each other when one of them is sick. And it's never, I dare say they don't feel like they're caregivers. They're just taking care of their spouse. And so then is the fact that we have multiple sclerosis, is that what elevates us? Does that give us like the badge of honor that we can carry the title of caregiver simply because we each are living on with a chronic illness?
That's a good point.
I mean, beyond what anybody else, what any other married couple who is not both living with multiple sclerosis or some other chronic condition, is it having that disease or illness, is that what elevates the spouse, husband, brother, whoever, as a quote-unquote caregiver?
I think absolutely that, for me, that doesn't just... The moment that chronic illness entered our lives changed a lot of the titles, a lot of the different ways we refer to ourselves. And so, yes, I think that's a very good way to separate, to weed us out, you know, those of us that are living with chronic conditions. Or, you know, if I think of if you are taking care of your parents, mm-hmm. you would be a caregiver.
Or taking care of a child.
Yes, that's true. And it's just the reality, you know, that there are lots of estimates. And according to an estimate from the National Alliance for Caregiving, during the past year, 66.7 million Americans, or 29% of the adult U.S. population, served as a family caregiver for an adult with a disability or that was ill, like a relative. And so that is such a large percentage of Americans that caregiving, it goes across diseases, and that's why this needs to get the attention, needs to get the respect and the results, where, you know, the government needs to understand what we're going through. And we ourselves, caregivers, I'm sure as we kind of tiptoed around, I'm not super easy to take care of all the time. And that puts you at a little extra stress, especially because you work full time. And people listening to this, they may understand because they themselves work full time or have living with a chronic illness. So that's why we need to give ourselves that title that, yes, we are caregivers. We are caregivers and we deserve to have a little help from whatever agencies that we can get to help deal with the strain or the, I don't want to use the B word, but burden.
Blessings,
just the reality of being a caregiver.
I think that's where, and this is what I liked about the video with Healthline, is that it showed our collective caregiving experience, and that Jen, your caregiver who is here for 7 hours during the day while I'm working, just showed how big of a help she is for you, but then also for me in giving me some respite to be able to continue to work full time. I mean, there's days that Jen is sick and can't make it. So then I'm, you know, I take on that role, and you don't get to go out and go shopping or doing your things for groceries, whatever. If I'm working, I mean, certainly that helps when Jen's here, but I think it's just how much she makes a difference in terms of supporting us in our lives, which really that was part of the equation when we opted to get married, and knowing that through the My Choice waiver program that we would have something to help you while I worked.
And we're going on our 18-year anniversary in a few weeks. And I know that we we knew what we were getting into. But did we?
Yes and no. I think you always plan for worst case scenarios. I think we've been, to pull in the B word of being blessed, that we've been able to maintain and get through the tough times. But I think that's just the beauty of a healthy relationship, that we're able to work together to get through the challenges. Or like when I'm sick, that just totally knocks everything out because I can't help you transfer. And that we've been able to make it through that. So I think that, you know, is it more challenging? It actually, if you can believe it, it's not that. You know, you make it so it's not challenging. If you fought on everything, or like for me, if I fought you any time that you tried to help me, or I guess stubbornness, that would be a challenge. But when we realize that we're in this together and we'll work together to make it, each of us wanting to make it easier for the other person, then it's like our stubbornness takes a back seat to the issue at hand to make this work.
So that is a little bit of the balance of a caregiving relationship. Is Dan is never 100% right, and Jennifer is never 100% right. So it is that balance. And I think that's marriage. I think that's life. That's family. There has to be a little, somebody has to be willing to give. And, you know, I was reading some statistics that in the U.S., one in four women are caregivers compared to one in five men. So more women than men are caregivers. And I look at you, babe, duh, you're a man. did it ever, I mean, you knew me, I was in a wheelchair. You knew I had multiple sclerosis. Did it give you pause? Did it make you say, oh, no, my, this is not what I want to do?
I mean, to be honest, no. I mean, certainly, you know, we've talked about just how, you know, before we really started seriously dating, that I had the trip back to Iowa to see my family for Thanksgiving, but I had that eight and a half hour drive back to Iowa, and then another 8.5 hours back to Michigan to debate, throw things around to say, could I do this? And I was just like, you know, yes. And I think it's you being in a wheelchair, and having secondary progressive MS, it's like, I loved you that much. I cared that much about you that it's just like, why wouldn't I take on that role as a caregiver for you? I mean, it's, so it never, I never paused. It was really not a question of did I want to do it? Absolutely. It became more for me a question, could I do it, knowing that I'm also living with MS, and you never know from one day to the next what was going to happen. And I think, isn't that just really more of a reality for, obviously we're at a bigger risk for that because of chronic illness, but I mean, people don't know from one day to the next what's going to happen. I mean, there could be a car accident, there could be something tragic, there could be a, you know, an illness that nobody ever saw coming to affect a relationship. So I'm in it for you, you know, for us. What about you then? Throw back at you. I mean, that you're putting your, I don't want to say you put your life in my hands, but it's just like you left the comfort of your home with your family to come and be with this kid from Iowa.
That's a good thing.
But I mean, did you ever have pause that that I'd be able to care for you? But I mean, the reality is you were going to have to care for me. And I also was living with the same disease as you.
Just to be perfectly honest, and I hope you're ready for this. I had no pause. I knew I was all in from the moment we talked about marriage, mm-hmm. and making this happen. And I don't say that I pause now, but, you know, we have been living with the disease for a long time. And we are getting older and the disease is progressing and we're aging. So I have moments, I wouldn't say they're, I come from a more worrywart place than you do. But I think about what does our future hold if I were to get worse, or God forbid you get worse, what does our future look like? And so I think I didn't think about that. I mean, I was so ready to get married to you. But now that we've been together this long, I would be a liar if I said I wasn't mindful of how important it is that we stay healthy and stay engaged in our community and keep those resources. Just because, like I said, we're aging. And so that's important. And I know that with chronic illness, we've talked about it umpteen times, how easy it is to get more secluded because you don't feel as well or you don't want to do as many things. But you kind of have to force yourself to stay engaged with the community as a whole, because if and when we ever need people, we need people. We'll need our friends. And likewise, we want to be there for them. But I guess maybe that worry work, just for being honest, I worry more like, will I be able to take care of you if, God forbid, something happens? And that could be aging or just the reality of chronic illness. But when we were younger, I was like, oh, we're stellar, but we're getting older and disease progresses. So I'm that much more conscious of the fact that I am your caregiver and I want to do a really good job and I want to support you as much as I can.
And that's the question too, in that, and bringing back the whole, like, because we have MS, that like totally elevates, because every married couple, whether or not they have multiple sclerosis, a couple that ages or, you know, stays together, and we're talking couples that celebrate their 50th, 55th, 60th wedding anniversary, they're aging too. You know,
and that's a good point.
But again, then with multiple sclerosis, I think that just adds an element, makes it more real because you're dealing with more than just the aging. But I mean, the older couples, they don't bail just because, you know, and one of them is likely going to be worse off than the others, and someone has to step up. And I think that's where we do a good job, that we know what each other's strengths are and who needs to step up when. And that to me says not only just a quote unquote caregiving relationship, but that's just marriage and married life in general.
And for those, not everyone is married and not everyone has a caregiver, or someone to be there all the time. But it's just, you have to take a little bit of that responsibility on yourself. I'm your caregiver, you're my caregiver, we're lucky. But with that, I love to go do things. I like to be social and I like to be out in the community. But there are times when I want to go do this X, Y, and Z. But I realize that's going to wear Dan out, or that's going to wear me out. And we have to step back and we have to think of the other person. And I'm guilty, and I will be the first to admit it. I don't take as great of care of myself as I should. I'm heavier than I should be. But, you know, food is fun. And I've talked about my weight a bajillion times before. And someday if I'm to be a really good caregiving spouse, I would get my butt into gear and I would lose some weight. And you know, when you're not taking the best care of yourself, not you, but the big why you, when you're not taking the best care of yourself, you're not doing the person you're taking care of any favors, or you yourself, you're not taking care of your caregiver.
And I think that's where we're bad for each other. I'm bad for myself in that, you know, when we talk about, and this for everybody listening who is a caregiver, and just how much I do not take my role as a caregiver. I don't take the self-care for me, because if you treated yourself the way that I treat myself, I have on the bulletin board in the guest bedroom 2 prescriptions for physical therapy, 1 from the podiatrist, 1 from my primary care doc. Actually, no, that's 3 prescriptions for physical therapy from, you know, 3 doctors, because my feet are killing me. I have plantar fasciitis. My legs are tight. My arms are sore. But I don't go to the doctor. I don't go to the physical therapist to take care of myself, because I'm so focused on making sure you're getting the care you need, that you're taking care of yourself. And so that's the downfall for a lot of people who are the primary caregivers, that they spend all of their time and energy focusing on the person they're caring for, that they neglect themselves and their health. And that's, you know, look that up. My picture is by that poor that poor self care.
And that's another scratching. I know the dates of those prescriptions, and they're dreadfully long.
They probably expired.
Probably. And being your caregiver, or being the person you're taking care of, I don't want to fight with you, and I don't want to nag at you and say, oh, Dan, you need to do this. You need to do this. Yeah, exactly. And so sometimes that's where I'm bad, that I will let it go. And so maybe if you're listening, Dan, if you're listening to me right now, or if you're out there listening, you need to be the grown up to say, okay, Dan, if we're going to fight, let's fight about how you need to take better care of yourself. Or Jennifer, if you're going to be a snot to me because I'm telling you you don't need that extra ho-ho or peanut butter bar, we just need to hold each other accountable. And so that's one thing with caregiving, that if you love and you care about the person you're taking care of, you need to think of yourself as well as you think of them.
I get that. And we talk, I mean, it is, and those are the signs of caregiving or not focusing on yourself. And it's like, yeah, I need to take better care of myself so that I can take better care of you. Just like a total come to Jesus moment here.
Total come to Jesus.
I got 3, physical therapy prescriptions that I need to pick a script, any script, you know.
And you need to take it seriously. And instead of telling me about shoes that you have with worn out soles and me saying, oh, we'll get to it. I need to say, no, Dan, you need a new pair of tennis shoes, or you're walking, you're struggling a little. Let's do something about it.
What's the meme? Is like, you know, if you don't take time to take care of your wellness, you'll need to take time to take care of your illness.
Ooh, something like that. That's good.
Because it is. It's like if it's something where you're sick, you're gonna drop everything to go to the doctor. Well, dude, I think that's just where I'm not recognizing it as being sick. But yeah, if you had 3 scripts from three different doctors and you're not doing it, I would nag. So thank you for not nagging, but now gloves are off and you're just like, we talked about this on the podcast.
It was, yes. And we talked about our Healthline experience, and I don't want to gloss over that because it was incredible. And we were very fortunate to be involved in that glimpse into our caregiving reality. And we'll have a link to that in our show notes. But they also, Healthline, spoke with a couple dealing with Alzheimer's and another couple two people. I don't want to say a couple, but two people who are living with handling the Alzheimer's journey and breast cancer.
I was going to say there was cancer, yeah.
And then multiple sclerosis. So we'll have a link to those videos. They're very important, and you can just see what caregiving is like in the United States. But there are so many of us living as caregivers or as caregivees. So what is your reality like? What is important to you? I mean, Dan and I are just talking in this 20 minutes. We've scratched the surface of little things we can both do better and little moments that you can tell that still kind of get to us. So,
because this is a big issue, not just for a couple takes on MS. I mean, this is nationwide, because Jennifer threw out the stats, and we'll have links to that information too, and other resources that you can take advantage of as caregivers. But I mean, what is your caregiving experience like? And just let us know. I mean, what questions do you have as somebody who is a caregiver or a caregivee, in terms of like things you can do better? You can email us, and our email is acoupletakesonms@gmail.com, or follow us on Twitter @coupletakesonms. I just think, just to hear what other people are dealing with, because I think that's one of the biggest things, is the community, and then you don't feel like you're alone as a caregiver. And I think that's why, you know, we wanted to bring this up here to share our resources available to you as a caregiver, and just so that you know that you're not dealing with the caregiver relationship alone.
And that word caregiver is not as, I hope you'll see it, is not so scary and official. I mean, a caregiver is a spouse, a child, a parent, a friend, and they're just people. They care. I mean, it's not giver. It's always
not taking, yeah.
It's being that person, being your person to help, to take care.
So thank you all for listening, taking the time to check out this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. And until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
And I'm Jennifer Digman, and I'm rolling.
And we are A Couple Takes on MS. Take care.